Welcome everyone. Welcome to the Australian Human Rights Commission. Could I introduce myself? I'm Catherine Branson. I'm the recently appointed President of the Human Rights Commission and I'm delighted to be here today. As we think today about protecting people who have recently come or will recently come to Australia, it's appropriate, I think, that we think of the traditional owners of the land upon which we meet. And today I express my respect to the elders of the Gadigal peoples of the Eora Nation, the traditional owners and caretakers of the land on which we meet today. Quite to start by giving you a running seat of what will happen today, so you've got a sense of where we are. We've got two speakers, Dr. Jane McAdam and Mr. Phil Glendinnen. They'll both speak for 25 minutes. We'll pause at the end of Jane's address to see if there are questions, and again at the close of Mr. Glendinning's address. We'll have a short break then, and there'll be a few light snacks before we go to see the film A Well-Founded Fear, which is an hour long. There'll be some time for questions to fill again after the end of that film, and we're proposing to close at about 3 o'clock. This is, I think some of you will know, is the second of the seminars that the Commission has held to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And we are meeting today to discuss complementary protections, meeting Australia's obligations to people fleeing danger. Could I immediately give the apologies to the meeting of Mr. Graham Innes, the Human Rights Commissioner. Unfortunately, although he would have liked to have chaired today's seminar, he's unavoidably, and I'm sure he's compensated by the fact that he happens to be in New York just at the moment and therefore unable to be here. So that leaves me with the honour of introducing our two speakers. Dr. Jane McAdam, soon to be Professor McAdam, is from the Faculty of Law at the University of New South Wales. And Mr. Phil Glendinning is the director of the Edmund Rice Centre and a co-producer of the documentary A Well-Founded Fear, which we'll be showing today. I'll speak a little bit more in an introduction of them immediately before they speak. I just want to start by saying a few words about the right to seek asylum and to gain protection. The right to seek asylum and enjoy protection in another country, that is a country not your country of nationality, against human rights violations, was one of the earliest human rights respected and recognised by the international community. The horrors of the Second World War and the subsequent displacement of large numbers of people through the need for other countries to offer asylum into very stark relief. And the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948 incorporated this fundamental right in Article 14. It provides, as many of you I think will know, that everyone has the right to seek and to enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution. Not long after, in 1951, countries of the world agreed to the creation of the United Nations Refugees Convention to protect those fleeing persecution in their own countries on the grounds specified in that convention. One of the curious things about the international concentration on that convention is that it has come to alter the meaning of the term refugee. In ordinary language, of course, a refugee is someone who seeks refuge. At least in legal speak these days, is a refugee is someone who comes within the protection obligation placed on countries who have adhered to the Convention on the Rights of Refugees. So that can make discourse about refugees confusing. It's got a generally broad meaning, which would cover someone fleeing torture, for example, who couldn't bring themselves within the ambit of the Refugees Convention, or it could be intended to cover just those who can bring themselves within the meaning of the Convention. Australia has, like other countries, domesticated its obligations under the Refugees Convention, and we've done so principally through the Migration Act. However, Australia has taken on international obligations that extend beyond those recognised in the Migration Act, and they are the non-refoulement obligations which Australia has undertaken because it has adhered also to the Convention Against Torture the Convention on the Rights of the Child and the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights. So the Maybe people who under those conventions look to Australia for it to meet its international obligations to protect them, but who do not come within the terms of the Refugees Convention and therefore do not clearly come within the terms of the Migration Act. Nonetheless, the human rights consequences of not offering refuge to those people and allowing them to go back to their countries where they face danger is a quite equivalent human rights difficulty as occurs should someone go back who has a genuine claim under the Refugees Convention. Now, the systems of protection for those who have come to be called, for those who don't fall within the migration provisions because they don't fall within the Refugees Convention, but nonetheless are entitled to call on an international right to protection, has become to be called complementary protection. So it's this need for complementary protection and the form that it should take that will be the subject matter of today's seminar. Australia is now one of the few developed countries that does not have a formal system of complementary protection, although the government has indicated that it will move to establish a system of this kind. At the moment, someone who can't bring themselves within the terms of the Refugees Convention and therefore entitled to protection under the Migration Act really only has the Section 417 provision of the Migration Act to turn to. It's not drafted to cover complementary protection of this kind, and it doesn't fit well as a mechanism for providing that protection for two main reasons. One is because it's entirely discretionary in the minister. There is no avenue of review at all for the minister's decision under Section 417. But second, the minister, as a matter of practice, will look at a Section 417 application only after a refugee application under the Act has failed. And there may well be people who are looking for complementary protection who know from the very beginning that they cannot bring themselves sensibly within the terms of the Migration Act, but they nonetheless must go through the mechanism of seeking to do so simply to get to the stage where they can ask the minister to put a more favourable decision in place to protect them than will be the necessarily negative decision that they've received under the Migration Act. There has been Senate inquiries looking at this problem, and there has been a recommendation that Australia's non-refoulement obligations be better protected. And as I've indicated, there is now an expectation that the government will move in this area. The Minister, Mr. Chris Evans, has indicated that he will move, and I think there may even be some draft material available for comment to be made to the government in this area. Nonetheless, because the issue is so critical and because the need for protection in some individuals is so high, it is necessary, I think, that everything be done to keep pressure on the government to ensure that complementary protection is provided in the law of Australia just as soon as can be achieved. So let me now engage on the pleasant task of introducing Dr. Jane McAdam. It's a pleasure for me to do so because, as some of you know, I come from the Federal Court, and I first struck Jane when she was an associate to one of the judges of the Federal Court. Since that time, she's gone on, as many Federal Court associates do, to achieve great things elsewhere. We also both contribute to the work of the International Association of Refugee Law Judges, and it's been very pleasant for me to maintain that connection with Jane. But I, at least, I think, will have to soon disclose to that organisation that I'm not a judge at all anymore, let alone a refugee law judge. But Jane has recently achieved promotion to the status of Associate Professor at the Faculty of Law at the University of New South Wales. She's also the Director of International Law Programs, the Director of International Moots, and the Director of Climate Change, Refugees and International Law Project at the Gilbert and Tobin Centre of Public Law. She's a Research Associate at the University of Oxford's Refugee Study Centre and has also been the Director of Oxford's International Summer School, Enforced Migration. She's involved also in a long list of other organisations touching principally on refugee law, and more recently I think her interest has moved slightly to climate change and its impact on refugees and refugee law. But Jane, if you don't mind, I don't think we'll go through that long list of impressive associations. But importantly, Jane is the author of Complementary Protection in International Refugee Law, which is a key resource on the topic which we discuss today. She has also authored a wide variety of other publications related to refugee law, and more recently, as I understand it, has embarked on research on climate change and refugees, having been awarded an Australian Research Council grant to pursue this topic of interest. Jane will speak to us today particularly on how other countries have created systems of complementary protection and how these models can help us create a better system of protection in Australia. Thank you, Jane.